Welcome, welcome. My name is Dusty Heggie, and this is Grow Well Podcast, a houseplant meets personal growth podcast. And I am so freaking glad you're here. I can't wait to dive into today's episode. I have Barbara Hill on today, and she is a therapist who loves Jesus and who really, really sheds some beautiful light on mental health. This episode is really, really good. We talk about boundaries. We talk about the process she takes her clients through. This episode is for you if you struggle with mental health or if you're a human because you need to take care of your mental health. Like, this episode is just really, really valuable and really, really great. Before we dive into this really inspiring conversation, I would like to ask you to make sure you click subscribe in your favorite podcast player of choice. So wherever you're listening to Grow Well Podcast right now, open up your podcast playing app and click subscribe. Those subscribes really, really add up and they help me to get this content out to more people in the world. So if you are subscribed to Grow Well Podcast already, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you aren't already subscribed, what are you even doing right now? Go click subscribe. All right, this is going to be a fun interview, a really deep one, a really short and punchy one. You're going to love it. I know you will.
So my name is Barbara Hill, and I currently live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I work as a therapist in private practice. I have an office in Nashville, an office a little south of Nashville in Brentwood, Tennessee, and I am originally from the East Coast. I'm from Baltimore, grew up there, and then hopped all over the country over the past like 6 or so years, and then found myself in Nashville, Tennessee. I think having hopped around in different parts of the country, Nashville feels like a good pace for me because I went from Baltimore, which is like a pretty large metropolitan city.
Yeah.
California, I'd never lived on the West Coast before. Pace of life is, I was on the coastal part, like I was at Newport Beach. So just a very different lifestyle. So going from the West Coast and then I moved to Chicago and super fast paced because Chicago is just enormous. And then Nashville. So Nashville feels like a happy medium in a lot of ways, and it's become home really quickly.
That's so exciting. What year did you say you moved here? Or moved there to? I'm not in Tennessee.
Kind of you are right now.
I guess, yeah, virtually.
Right. I moved to Nashville in 2018, so I just hit 2 years here.
Yeah, and then a year after that is when you opened Holding Space, right?
Yeah. So when I initially first moved here, I started working at a place called the Refuge Center for Counseling, which is a counseling agency. And it was an amazing place to start because I knew no one and I didn't have any sort of starting everything fresh. So the Refuge Center has a really amazing reserve to pull from in terms of resources and clientele. So started really building, I guess, myself as a therapist here in Nashville. And then last February, opened up Holding Space and went from there.
That's exciting. I have so many questions about that. But first, you mentioned that you on the Enneagram are a 2 wing 3. That's what your girl is. Samesies. Yeah. That's cool. Okay, tell us all about Holding Space.
Yeah, so Holding Space Counseling is a private practice. Like I mentioned before, I have an office in Berryhill, which is right outside of like the Nashville proper area. And then I have an office in Brentwood. And I honestly opened up a private practice at the bidding of God, really, because I didn't really see a private practice in my near future. I thought it was maybe like a little, maybe like 5 years down the track. And everything kind of just aligned for me to be able to open it up. And it was the right time. Everything was just set up for it. So it felt like a leap of faith because it was taking like a whole nother level of ownership over my profession and over my work.
Yeah.
And, but I really, I mean, I named the practice Holding Space because I just love that idea of what a therapist can offer a client, just this safe space to come in whatever form that you come in, whether you're angry or sad or you're anxious or you're depressed or you're happy, like whatever form that you're coming in, that I can help to hold that space for you. And really allow an opportunity for growth, for transformation. And I think it's one of the most beautiful and really healing and transformative parts of seeing a therapist.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I also, sidebar, really love your branding and your logo. I think it's really beautiful.
I had some amazing people helping me with all of that because I was a bit clueless. I was like, where do I start? what's a logo?
There's so much to look at in business.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. That's incredible. So as a therapist, what like specifically do you work through with your clients?
Yeah. So my main population that I'm working with is ages like 18 to 40. That's where I find it's kind of my sweet spot as a therapist in working within that age frame. And I would describe myself as a trauma therapist. And really what that means to me is being able to work with clients in such a way that, yes, of course, we're going to get an idea of some of the symptomatic stuff that's showing up on the surface, some of the stuff that's disruptive to their lives, which really probably motivated them to make the call and come in for the session in the first place, whether they're having ruminating thoughts or they're having relational issues or whatever it may be. So one part of it is getting a handle on some of those disruptive things that are showing up on the surface, understanding what they are, putting some things in place to help the client manage those better, while at the same time being able to go down a few layers deeper, peel back the proverbial onion, and be able to understand together what is at the root that's causing these things to continue to happen, or that they're patterns or repeating cycles for a person. Because in my mind, if we can get to the root of what's going on, then a client can experience long-term change, which that's what I want. I want to be able to get myself out of a job. I say that to clients all the time, and they look at me sideways, like, really? Yeah, absolutely. Like, I want you to feel empowered to live your life without me. I want to be able to impart everything that I know so that you can make it your own. And obviously, my door would always be open at any point, but to be able to impart what I have so that they can live life empowered and feeling like they're living it effectively.
Yeah, that's really incredible. As you have worked with clients, I'm assuming you've seen a lot of patterns of similar types of coping mechanisms and behaviors. What would you say to a woman? Because primarily my listeners are women. I do have some stellar men listening. Tim is probably one of my biggest fans. And what would you say to a person who is experiencing those, like, or clinging to, I guess, those coping mechanisms and like working through trauma and trying to find healing, but doesn't really know what to do next?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. One of the things that I recognize as I'm working with clients is that the coping skills that they have in place at that moment and the defense mechanisms that they have in place at that moment, those have been ways in which they've survived and stayed safe.
Yeah.
So honestly, some of the work in the very beginning is honoring and dignifying the things that they've done, whether they've been destructive or not, honoring them, dignifying them, and saying, hey, like, this is how you learn to stay safe in the world. This is how you learned to be connected to the people around you. Mm-hmm. This is how you learned how to survive. So, because there can be, as we're gaining awareness, there can be so much room for shame that, oh gosh, well, the things that I'm doing have been causing harm on myself or the people around me, and we can feel overwhelmed with shame. And so if we can take this more compassionate, curious approach at the very beginning and say, okay, like, as we're learning what your coping skills have been and what those defense mechanisms have been, how can we show compassion towards yourself in them, and how can we dignify them and say, like, this is what you've used thus far to stay safe and survive the things that you've gone through. And I wonder if there could be a better way, a different way of dealing with the same things.
That's really cool. I feel like that's really freeing to hear that. I know on my own, like, I don't know, journey, I suppose, of finding like healing in that way, I have had like suffered some like depression my whole life. I had some childhood trauma that just sort of lingered, and I was happy enough, but was not up to par, and had a really traumatic birth with my first daughter, and that has just like spiraled everything. Like, all of my coping mechanisms were like taken away from me. It was just really hard. Everything, I suddenly felt the weight of all of the past trauma and all the current trauma all at once. And through that, it took me far too long, but I finally got my butt into therapy. And I think that was the biggest thing I felt, was just incredible shame. I felt so much shame for putting Brian, my husband, through all of that. Cause I, like, it's hard to see somebody you love so much suffer, especially when it's things that from the outsider perspective should be able to be fixed easily. But from my inside perspective of dealing with all of this, it felt really like I was trapped. And so when my therapist said something similar to what you said and saying like, be proud of those coping mechanisms and it's okay to experience that, it helped me feel immediately so much more free.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I think I oftentimes encounter my clients saying similar things with, they've had childhood experiences that were traumatic mm-hmm. and they don't actually, they're not necessarily triggered or activated until later in their adulthood.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the intersection that brings them into seeing a therapist. It's like, oh, okay, like I've experienced something in my adult life that's activated something from my past, and I think it's time to start working through it.
As you are working through those kinds of things with your clients, what are some steps that you like encourage people to take through that process? I know a lot of that is like identifying, like you mentioned earlier, like dignifying the coping mechanisms. But after you've done that and after you've given them tools to use some better coping mechanisms, like what are those next steps?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a sliver of something in between that. So once they start identifying those coping mechanisms and dignifying them, then the question is why? Because that gives us so much data, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because the why behind what we do is such an important question before we can go to considering doing something different. Going from dignifying them to really relieve the client of shame to then asking the why questions. Like, why did I feel like I needed to do this? Or why did I feel like I needed to do that? And then it opens up space, I think, in a person's mind and heart to consider new coping skills. So something like maybe a person's experiencing a lot of anxiety and maybe some of it is related to being overly connected, let's say like with their phone or on social media. And it feels almost compulsive to the point where they can't imagine doing anything different because this is how they're self-soothing. This is how they're just dealing with the anxiety that they're experiencing in their real life, whether their job or their relationships. So one small thing could be, you know, when you get an indication or a message on your phone or anything that would keep you connected to your to an electronic, that the person would give themselves permission to wait a minute before they pick up their phone. And So it's a really simple thing that we wouldn't necessarily think would matter a lot. But what it does is it slows down our response time, so that it doesn't create more anxiety in our body.
Yeah.
Because if we're compulsively reaching for our phones, compulsively, you know, hitting Instagram or Facebook, it's creating energy in our body, which inevitably could lead to somebody experiencing a panic attack. And they're like, why? Why did my anxiety escalate to the point where I'm having a panic attack? Well, considering what am I doing in my everyday life, practically speaking, what am I doing with my body? Am I reaching for my phone the second I get a notification? How about if I can slow my response time and yes, acknowledge that I got a notification, acknowledge that I feel compelled to reach for my phone, but giving myself permission to wait a minute, wait 2 minutes, wait 5 minutes. And then the way that you engage with whatever it is that's begging for your attention is going to feel really different.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I would be the kind of person who would need to set a timer. I would like set a timer for a minute. And then, cause I will tell myself, oh, I want to do these things or I want to implement these habits. And then in my mind, I'm just so proud of myself for wanting to implement the habits. And then I'm like, well, now I can do the thing that I, then I don't fall through as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
I want to take a moment to pause this really great conversation. It's really great, right? I hope you're enjoying it. But I want to take a quick second to pause this conversation and let you know that I have some really fun plant merchandise in the shop. You can head to dustyheggie.com/shop and there I have my brand new plants, coffee, and more plants diner mug, a gorgeous Grow Well enamel pin, some fun stickers, and some really incredible houseplant supplies, my favorite soil, and my favorite plant food. I would love it if you could go check it out. I only carry products and create products that I would personally buy and currently use. I use my mug every morning. I always plant my houseplants in the soil that I carry in my shop, and I know you're gonna love it. Head to dustyheggie.com/shop to grab yours. I would love to hear. So you mentioned that you've been thinking a lot about how we approach life in a very binary way. Can you expand on what you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as humans, we're so wired to think in either or, black and white. Mm-hmm. And I see that show up so much in my work with clients, as well as in my own personal life. We're just so apt to think black and white about things. And I think it really limits our options in terms of how we can think about certain things and how we can really our perspective about what's going on in our life. And so the language that I use a lot with clients is, what if it's a both and? What if it's, let's talk about your relationship with your parents, and say you're talking about your relationship with your mom, and we start going into the territory of what were some of the hurtful things that happened in that relationship. Usually we feel like we have to choose. It was all bad or it was all good. We feel like there's not space for both to coexist together. And what that does is, if I'm saying it's all good and I'm not acknowledging some of the hurtful things that have happened, then it's almost like I'm betraying myself. I'm betraying an experience that I had that was real for me. So
yeah,
going from like either or, black and white, very binary, it's like categorized and they don't touch each other. What does it look for this both and, where both exist, both are real, both are valid? And I find that when we can start thinking like that and approaching life like that, it does bring a lot of freedom and a lot of permission.
Yeah. Yeah. Like permission to do, permission for what?
I think permission to acknowledge things that already exist inside you, you know, acknowledge, that did hurt and that did happen. Because I think if we don't acknowledge it, then we can't necessarily allow it to be real.
Yes, so I see what you're saying. And then instead we downplay it, or we feel like, oh, we're making this up, or we're over exaggerating.
Exactly.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. How can a person like tangibly apply that?
I think just starting to notice the inner dialogue, like when I think about a relationship with my spouse or my sibling or my friend, or, you know, whatever it may be, if it's not even a relationship, but it's a situation and I feel like I have to choose. It's really just gaining awareness around how do I think about this? How do I approach this? Do I give myself permission to think that it's a both and, that both things are valid? Or do I feel like I have to allow it to be one or the other? So it might sound a little abstract, but it really does start just being aware of how I'm thinking, how I seem to perceive what's going on around me. Because then once you raise your level of awareness, then it gives you the chance to think about it differently, approach it differently.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm reading the book Atomic Habits by, I think his name is James Clear. I always want to say it's Cleary, but I'm pretty sure it's James Clear. Mm-hmm. But I'll put a link for you guys in the show notes. And one of the things that he said about just recognizing the habits you already have, whether good or bad, is just starting to like make note of it. Like if you're a person who stress eats, he said, just notice in your mind, like, oh, I'm stress eating right now. Don't stop yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't stress about changing it until you've just started noticing how frequently that habit is coming up, or that coping mechanism, or whatever the thing is that you're trying to heal or change. And for me, that feels really encouraging, because it shows me that like those little tiny steps forward make a big difference. Like they add up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I always say to clients is, what we're going for is that the intensity and the frequency of what your experience would change. Change feels overwhelming. Like if we think we have to go from where we are to this totally different version of our experience and ourselves, that feels so overwhelming. It's like a black cloud over our head. But if we consider like, oh, okay, well, maybe change looks like exactly what you said, like small incremental changes, moving the needle just a tiny bit each day and each week and each month, that adds up to incredible change and transformation.
I'm starting to see that. That's true. I'm the kind of person who's like eats a salad and is like, my life is a million times better now. I expect to be a completely different person and be more enlightened and closer with my husband and my children and God. Like, I just expect that salad to like, whew, transform me.
Yeah, no.
And then I get really mad that it doesn't. Right. And then I'm hungry 20 minutes later.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You get that. Yeah. Which I think is a good segue into. I was perusing your website, which is so beautiful, by the way. Sure. Really, really well designed. And I noticed you have a freebie for like creating boundaries. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear, well, first of all, mm-hmm. I will put a link to that freebie in the show notes for people. I think it'll be a really great resource for people. But can you just kind of explain why that concept is important at all?
Oh, goodness. Gosh, I could spend probably the next like 3 hours talking about that. Yeah. I mean, I think especially as a two, you know, our lives are revolving around relationships. But even if you're not a two, any number on the Enneagram that you are, relationships are such an integral part to our lives. And having boundaries or not having healthy boundaries in our relationships is going to have a dramatic effect on our lives, mentally, emotionally, in every way. And really, our concept of boundaries is being formed by how we grew up, by our family of origin. And oftentimes we, until we start learning about boundaries and what they are and what's healthy and what's not, we don't realize we've been operating out of this unhealthy boundary place for so long. So yeah. Dr. Henry Cloud is the psychologist that wrote the book Boundaries. And a lot of what I wrote in that freebie comes from what he shares in that book. But it's this idea of a boundary that gives me a distinction between what's me and what's not me, and what's mine and what's not mine. And so if we don't have those boundary lines in place, then codependency and a number of other things can start to form in our relationships. And the tricky thing with relational boundaries is that they're invisible. It's not like a fence or a tree that we can visibly see that isn't demarcating like what's yours and what's not mine and what's yours. So I think that's the challenge, is that the boundaries in relationships are invisible, so to speak. But I think starting to understand like, okay, like what's a healthy boundary line between me and you? What's a healthy boundary line between what you're responsible for in this relationship and what I'm responsible for? Because whenever we cross over into the territory of taking responsibility for another person's responses or actions or reactions, then we're going to feel really heavy emotionally, because we're taking on a weight and a burden that's not ours to bear. So the topic of boundaries is huge and has so many compartments to it. And I would say that if somebody is experiencing relational challenges, I would say start with learning about boundaries. It's a really great like relationship 101, and we never outgrow the need to continue to grow and learn about boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. I will put a link for that freebie for you guys, like right at the top of the show notes, so you can take a hold of it. And I strongly recommend that you do, because implementing really good boundaries, or maybe I shouldn't say that I've like perfected this yet, but starting to learn about how to implement those good boundaries has made all the difference in the world. Switching gears, hardcore.
Yeah.
Do you have any houseplant questions I can answer for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a black thumb. So, I mean, I could take any advice that I could get.
Yeah. Yeah. So the resources I always recommend to people is I have a houseplant quiz on my website. Mm-hmm. It's just at dustyheggie.com/quiz. And it will take into account, it's like a multiple choice type situation. And it takes into account the growing conditions you have in your home and your like personal like plant preferences. Like, for example, is it okay if you have a toxic plant, or do you have pets or little kids that might chew on the leaves and you need a non-toxic plant, things like that. And then it'll pair you with a plant that's going to be most suitable for your growing conditions and for you personally. And then after that, you'll get some follow-up emails on how to grow that plant well, some other suggestions that will do well based on your quiz results. And it will just sort of walk you through like houseplant care 101 is the intention for that resource, to help people to learn how to learn about houseplants. The biggest factor is being light. So light is going to be the biggest thing that determines what kind of plant mm-hmm. you should bring into your space.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think I was curious about, in a professional setting, like in my practice, what would be some good plants that might be good for that?
Yeah. So typically offices don't have a whole lot of light. And so I always try and recommend plants in those environments that are really adaptable to lower lights or higher lights, light levels. And so my top suggestions are always either a snake plant, also called a mother-in-law's tongue, which is funny. And they are a semi-succulent, so they need to dry out fully in between waterings, which is kind of perfect for somebody who's in and out of the office a lot. Then just set like a reminder on your phone once a month to check and see if it needs watered. And when it does, you water it like deeply, so the water is just pouring out of the bottom of the pot. And then another really good option is Apothos. And it's the plant I recommend to every single person who wants a plant because they do well in all of the growing conditions and they adapt really, really well. And those two plants will do really good in lower light situations. But then say you switch offices and your office has a ton more light suddenly, they'll still do really well.
Mm, okay. And then the name, the snake plant.
Awesome. Yes. And those ones are really accessible. Like you could get them at a Walmart or at your local nursery. Like you can get them anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. But my favorite way to wrap up the show is I want to hear one thing, anything in the world that is making you just so super happy right now.
That's a good question. Is that sad that it's taking me that long?
I was going to say no pressure. No pressure to find the happy thing.
Gosh. Well, I'm an extrovert and I'm incredibly relational, as I already said, as a two. So I would probably say it would have something to do with my relationship. So probably my community. I think like I would be dead in a ditch somewhere without people. So
somehow that's endearing.
Yeah.
Even when you say dead in a ditch.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say probably my community. And I think just going into a new year, I think obviously it can bring like a mixed bag of emotions, but I think recognizing that it's can be anything. Like there's one of two ways you can look at it. It can either be like a doomsday, like, you know, maybe certain things that people have wanted to see happen that didn't. It's so easy to carry disappointment into a new year, but to be like, you know what, that there's endless possibilities in a new year and to see it as an exciting prospect instead.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like exciting prospects.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us. I feel like you gave us so much wisdom and I'm really, really, really grateful. Where can people find you and connect with you?
Sure. So the website for Holding Space is www.holdingspacecounseling.org and then on Instagram at Barb's, the little line underneath Hill.
Underscore.
There we go.
Yeah.
Barb's underscore Hill. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I will have, again, direct links to all of that in the show notes for you guys. Thank you. I hope you have an incredible day.
Thank you so much. You too.
My prayer for you is that after listening to this conversation and all of the wisdom and incredible things that Barb had to share with us today, that you can pick one thing to implement right now. Maybe that is setting up some boundaries. Maybe that's taking a really brave step and finding a therapist to work through things with. Maybe that's enrolling in Houseplant Academy. I mean, you know, the choice is yours. I really, really hope that the words that Barbara shared with us speaks to you and reminds you that there is always hope, that God is in the business of redemption, God is in the business of forgiveness, and God is in the business of grace. And through that healing process, God wants to redeem the hard things in your life, no matter how big and no matter how scary. I know I can speak from personal experience. With that said, want to share some resources that you can learn more about me and my story. I will have direct links to some things that I shared, some simple ways that I was really intentional with fighting through depression and through anxiety. I'll have a link to that back in the show description for you so you can take advantage of that. The exact episode number is escaping my mind right now. If you enjoyed this episode with Barbara and I ask that you take a quick screenshot of this episode, tag Barbs_Hill and Dusty Heggy on Instagram at Barbs_Hill and at Dusty Heggy, tongue twisters, on Instagram. We would love it so much if you can help us get this episode into the hands of countless men and women who need to hear this story of hope and redemption and the process it takes to find healing within our own mental health and with our own healing processes. So please help us share this episode. You can tag at Barbs_Hill and at Dusty Heggy on Instagram to help us do just that. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I am very, very, very grateful that you're here. If you haven't already clicked subscribe, please do so. And with that, this is my final adieu. This is my goodbye. I'm in a weird mood today, guys. This is a really fun time, and I'm really grateful that you're here. Okay, that's all. Have a great week of growing well.